Hey, Amy, I'm gonna turn the music on a minute and get it adjusted, then I'll start it over and you tell me if you can hear it good. Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. The question this morning would be, how y'all all feel? Hey, you feel okay? Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What about, are you comfortable? Because I did not turn on anything this morning. Are you comfortable? All right. Well, if you need anything turned on, just motion back there and Gilbert can get up and turn on the air. Amen. All right. Hey, this morning as we get started, I want us to think about giving the Lord some praise. But Miss Barbara, you be careful when we clap here because you're your hand, okay? We thank the Lord for Miss Barbara's being here this morning. Amen. I didn't want you to get caught up in the spirit. But we thank the Lord for being with you and being with your hand. And thank y'all for everything that y'all done with Miss Barbara, checking on her and all. And we really appreciate that. I pray that you continue to do that. Pray for Miss Barbara's continued healing. Is there anything else, Miss Barbara? Okay. Amen. Well, that's good. She gets that off Thursday. So also, pray for Miss Rita. Miss Rita's got to go in and have some tests to prepare her to have a procedure that she's got to have. The test will be next week. The time of the procedure has not yet been scheduled, but she will let us know. So y'all keep her lifted up in prayer. Also, Miss Alma, I know that she's, you know, tired of being by herself. And I didn't get a chance last week. I had a reaction to a flu shot, and I wasn't sure what had happened to me, so I surely didn't want to go over there, and I didn't get to check on her, but I did, because she doesn't have a phone, but I did get to talk to Miss Jean. But keep Miss Jean in your prayers. I got a friend, Miss Lib Mason. She had fallen, had some issues, had to go to be in the hospital, and so because she was in the hospital, she when she went back to her assisted living place, she had to be in quarantine with the door closed for 14 days. And Miss Lib is 90, I can't remember, three, I think, or four, but she's a people person. When you see her, she's got her own Facebook page. And I'm telling you, two or three people had called me last week, said, please pray for Miss Lib. She's so down and out because she's sitting in that room. So just remember her. Also, James Gordon, the praise is that his cancer has is shrinking in his pancreas and in his liver, but because it was, amen. That's another praise is the doctor says the main thing we don't understand is how you feel good enough to walk around with all the chemo we've been giving you. So he says, well, it's got to be God, you know, amen. And the good news is that it is shrinking. They still, you know, will not be able to do surgery, but he's took that very well, you know, because it's in his liver. However, they gave him, you know, said, it, you know, at least it might be a year, and it could go on forever how long that we could keep the cancer at a bay. So the plan is to continue the chemo like they're doing it and just keep it going and so that he can live as long as possible. And he wants to said he wanted to serve the Lord as long as possible. So just be with him, and also Miss Rhonda, his wife, as you know, she fell as soon as he started these treatments, but she's going to therapy, and her elbow and all is the same thing, getting better. They've got her in a less of a weighty cast, so keep that in your prayers. Also, all those that are absent, you know, I was talking to several preachers over the last couple of weeks, and they'd been asking about, you know, people coming back now, and I told them all along I assumed that a lot of our churches, when we had to close them down, we had a lot of folks that was probably still coming to church instead of watching online or being at home or just not coming because it was kind of the acceptable thing to do and they knew people would be wondering why they didn't come or whatever. And so as church is starting back, even if people still a little fearsome of coming to church, we ought to call and encourage them and share something with them from the sermon or from your scripture because we still need to be reaching people. We'll talk about that a little more in the sermon, but we need to be praying for these that are absent. We want to just pray this morning is Amy, leads us in music. Thank her for being here. Y'all give her a hand. We want to pray for our country as we go through this process of nomination and affirming Judge Amy. We want to go through, we want to pray about that, our elections that's upcoming. We want to pray about that also. We've all got lost loved ones. We need to be praying for them also and reaching out to them. You know, I reach out to people that I really care about a lot and invite them to different church services. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I've got to the point that I'm not surprised when they don't show up. I really wish, you know, sometimes I just have to pray and ask the Lord to give me a heart of compassion to, you know, to keep expecting them to show up one day. I had two relatives, cousins, call me yesterday about two different things, and both, you know, my advice to them both was, you got to start trusting in the Lord, you know. And people say, well, I do trust in the Lord. And I said, well, sometimes when you're trusting in the Lord, he's already got your blessing laying there, but you got to get up and start walking so you walk into it. You know, sometimes it don't get delivered all the way to your doorstep. And so, you know, we got to do a little help there. So, I mean, the time is short, people, and we need to be praying about that. Is it anyone else we can add to this list? Okay. And remember Ms. Teresa back there. Ms. Teresa, glad to have you in the house this morning. Amy? And also, Amy's got Afigail, the tick disease, so keep Amy in your prayers also. All right. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's pray for Kendall's grandpa. This wasn't last week when he was already getting up and about. Last Sunday, was it? Okay. All right. I saw another hand somewhere. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Miss Teresa's had a hard week this week, and praise the Lord, you're getting better, Miss Teresa. Y'all remember her each day. Remember Mr. Ken is he helps her and is with her there. Y'all remember both of them and both of their kids in the mission. Field. One's in the mission field, one's planning to go to mission field. So y'all remember them also. Anything else this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yep, and I'm going to ask y'all to sing Happy Birthday and something else the other Sunday. I missed it. I had the wrong date. Miss Brenda or Miss Joyce? That's what I was fixing to say, honey. Don't shoot at nobody, baby. You was pointing the wrong way. No, Miss Elsa's birthday was the 13th, and I, for some reason, thought it was that the next Sunday, and I didn't say nothing. I went to wish her happy birthday, and it was a week ago. So, yes, it's Mona's birthday. It was Miss Elsa's birthday and Jose's birthday. So let's sing happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Mike, for going and getting Jose. We left him outside like a stepchild. Thank you, Jose, for all you do, brother. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to jump right into service this morning and with Amy here, and we just thank y'all for being here. Kind fathers, we come before you this morning. We come before you with great adoration for the greatness of your grace, the attention that you give to our lives, the protection around us that sometimes we not only take for granted, but we don't even realize what could have happened to us this week if it wasn't for the protection of your hand upon us. Sometimes, Lord, that we just don't show you gratitude for the power of the Holy Spirit living in us that help us make decisions that keep us close to you, clean from the influence of the world. Lord, we just pray this morning that, Lord, we'd pause here for a moment. Open our hearts that the Spirit could convict us of anything that would prevent this worship service from being pleasing to you. Lord, anything that we've said or done this week, Lord, that we've just thought of that we know wouldn't be pleasing to you, we ask now that you'd forgive us. Not only for what we've done, but that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, Lord, you'd help us not to repeat habits of this week, next week. That we'd wake up every morning seeking to serve and please you. Now may everything we do here be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Miss Amy, we welcome you to lead us. Amen.
Springs Baptist. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm like Wesley, excuse me. All that's going on outside around us with this COVID and all the different things that we see on the news and stuff. But I tell you what a comfort to know that God is in control. And he's going to see us through this COVID and all of the different things that we're dealing with. We just got to be fervent in prayer and just keep crying out to the Lord. And he will see us through. But I've got several songs that I'm going to sing. And just worship with me this morning. And it is a privilege anytime that I get a chance to go and share the good news of Christ through music. If you don't know who Jesus is this morning, You can come to the altar and you can know who Jesus is. But one of the first songs I'm going to sing is called God is Faithful. Aren't you glad this morning that God is faithful? Amen. Broken, he'll make new. prevail. If he said he'd do it, then you know he will. God is so faithful to me. Song that's really ministered to me over the last, I guess, couple of years. It's called The River, and it's just a powerful song. I hope it blesses you this morning as much as it's blessing me. My heart is weary, my soul's been dry. Now I'm desperate for the water. Many deserts I walk by myself. Now I'm ready for the water. Ooh. Oh, how I need the river. Oh, how I need the healing stream. All I'm running to the river, gonna let it wash all over me. I'm tired of drinking from bitter wells. Now I am desperate for the water. Too many deserts I walk by myself. Now I am desperate for the water. Lord, you're my water. Oh, how I need the river. Oh, how I need the healing stream. All I'm running to the river, let it wash all over me. Drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. When you drink of the water of Jesus, you're ready to step on them clouds. I believe Jesus is coming sooner than he's ever been. Amen. One of these days, One of these days, I'm going home. I'm going to take my final journey. I'm going to rest beneath heaven's blue dome. Stepping on the clouds, we're still Jesus rise. Meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy forever will share. I'm going to leave this world behind me. Going with the devil, can I find me? I'm going higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Going past the moon, stars and the planets. I'm going to walk on the Milky Way way. When old Gabriel gives the signal, I'm going to leave forever to say. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise. Meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Go where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, 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 higher. Stepping on clouds, we'll see Jesus Christ meet him in the air. Stepping on clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Go where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher, higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds. Higher, stepping on the clouds. Higher, stepping on the clouds. Man, I'm looking forward. We step on the clouds of glory and we'll be home. I'm singing this song called These Are They Who Have Come Out of Great Tribulation and They Have Washed Their Robes in the Blood of the Lamb. The oceans give up all the dead that are in their graves, open wide to set captives free, and those who are to meet them, Abraham's seed, as it sends on the sea. These are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have through great sorrow into great jubilation, they're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Like a strong mighty army, their voices are ringing the ground. God of witnesses, sing freedom song as they enter the country, held by their own father, the promised soul land they've looked for so long. Oh, pilgrims and strangers, no longer strangers of time, weary wanderers, they will wander no more. The table is spread, the great celebration, and the welcome home in the house this morning. Amen. Give us some praise. God loves the praises of his people. I've always heard when the praises go up, guess what, church? The blessings fall down. Amen. Thank y'all, Wesley and Mona. It's a blessing to always be with y'all. God bless y'all. Thank you.
Blessing to be with you, Amy. Tell your mom and daddy and sister hello, too. She told me she was singing about those who'd come through the tribulation, and I told her that's good because I'm preaching on the tribulation this morning. Amen. Her daddy, I used to think the world of him years ago when we moved back here. I'd be going to church some Sunday mornings, and I'd go by Hardee's. I guess I got old because I'd meet with the old men, amen, and get the biscuits, you know. And Mr. Charlie, he used to always, when I'd come across the parking lot, her daddy'd be going, and I'd look up, and he says, he's coming, you know what? Every Sunday morning, he's excited, waiting on the Lord. Amen. This morning, if you will, if you take your Bibles and turn to Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning, and we're going to talk about the day of the Lord. If you remember, we was talking about the resurrection and rapture last week, and this week, we're going to be talking about the day of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord. And so, as we look at this, I want to read a few verses here for you. We'll pray, and we're going to jump right in here this morning and get started. Chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you this morning. We just come before you with open hearts and open minds. And Lord, I pray that we would remember that information without application will never do us any good. So Lord, let us take the knowledge that we do have of your word, of your will, and apply it to our lives diligently as we wait, expectant of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The information that we have from God, about God, and about ourselves should always influence how we make decisions in the presence. I was reading a great book here, it's been a couple years now, and kind of the thesis of that book was that the decisions we make today determines our destiny for tomorrow. And Paul here is a pastor. He's a theologian, you know that. He's a missionary. He's all things, but he's been writing to the Thessalonians about hope is what he's been writing about. And he's been commending them for their love, their faith, their hope, how they love one another. He tells them that they're doing a good job. In verse 9, he says that they're loving one another, and he has no need to write to them about that. He says, because you yourselves are taught by God how to love one another. So y'all doing a good job. You don't need no more information about that. But over and over in there, if you remember, he uses that term or that phrase, but still excel more. In other words, when we're doing what God wants us to do and you've checked it off the list, hey, tomorrow you need to not only repeat that, but do a better job at it. Amen? And the only way you can do that, I was texting back with someone last night having a lot of difficulty, is by dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must constantly depend on Jesus. Now, Paul is writing here to this church, and we need to look at verses 13 of chapter 4 through verse 11 of chapter 5 and realize that Paul is talking there about the same event, I would say. You know, they're really two different events, but in our minds or in the way we understand things, that they are the same thing. He's talking about the rapture of the church and the return of Christ. Now, when you read through the Bible from the Old Testament forward and predicting the coming of the Messiah of the Lord, or God's Lord, God's Savior. The Jewish people, when they're reading through there, the reason they had so much trouble with understanding who Jesus was and why he was going to cross is because they was looking down through history as they've been reading the Bible. They seen Jesus coming back, stomping out all their enemies, lifting them up, establishing his kingdom, and then everything going to be all right. Well, he got here and says, well, first thing, I've come to save y'all. I've come to suffer, die, be buried, be risen again. Then I'm going to leave y'all here to do my mission. I'm going to go back to the Father. Then I'm going to come back and get y'all when we fill the kingdom. And they're like, well, that can't be right. That takes too long. One theologian described this as if the Jewish people had been looking down through history, they saw two mountaintops and they looked the same, okay, because it was the same height. So they saw Jesus' first coming and second coming as the same event. What they didn't see was the valley in between. Amen? Now, when Paul is talking about the resurrection and the rapture of the church, and he's talking about the second coming of Christ, it's kind of the same way. When I say Christ is coming back, he's coming back. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I bet my whole life since I've been saved on that. I'm taking that as God's promise. But when Christ comes back, he's coming back to rapture the church, okay? So we're living in the last days since Christ was resurrected and he ascended to heaven. We're living in the last days. So Jesus even says in Matthew chapter 4, when y'all turn on the news and you go, how many of y'all go, I can't believe they're doing that, right? Well, Jesus says, why can't you believe it? He's done told you. They're signs of the times. We're living in those last days. Paul told Timothy that children raised up against parents, brothers against brothers, parents against children. All this in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Timothy's with Paul when he's here at the Thessalonians. Now what Paul wants them to know, and here's his pastor concern. I got to jump on in here so I can get done, so y'all can get out of here. In verse 13, he says, but we do not want you to be uninformed. That's of chapter 4. Now look here. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, now as to the time and the epochs, brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. So here's what Paul wants him to understand. First of all, I don't want you to be ignorant, right? We talked about this last week. I don't want you to be ignorant. You need some information. Now Paul says, you've already got the information. I don't need to write to y'all anymore. So here's the information. Are you worried about the return of Christ? If you're saved, the answer is no, right? I mean, now, after Christ returns, we got to get an answer for what we did with our life while we're here on this earth, but that's another sermon. Christ will come back, resurrect the dead in Christ, the ones that our loved ones that have gone on before us. He'll resurrect them. They'll be going up through the air. They'll get their glorified body. If we're alive, we're going to be going with them, right? So you're going to be like, there goes Grandpa, I got to go. And we'll be going with him. We'll be glorified. We'll go back to heaven with Christ. Then there is 7 years right here, okay? And Christ will return then. And Amy was singing out of Revelation chapter 6. And a little farther on in Revelations, we say, when Christ comes back this time, John says that they will look on him. Oh, and they're going to be terrified. Matter of fact, it would say that it would be better off to be dead than face God without Jesus Christ. When they realize what has happened, that they have denied Christ, it says that they wish they could be dead, but they cannot die. So you got the resurrection and the rapture of the church, 7 years, Christ is coming back. Paul says for us this morning, he says, now as to the times and the epochs, you brethren, that's people that believe in Christ, you don't need anything written to you. So when we get to talking about the return of Christ and the rapture, most of the time what we really want to do is get a timeline for that. Amen? Don't we? How many times have you heard people set the time? Christ is coming back, such and such date, such and such a time. They've all been made out fools. Why? Jesus says, not even the angels in heaven or the Son of Man knows the time. Only the Father in heaven knows. You know, used to, when I first started driving a truck, first time I really got an opportunity to do something that would kind of put me in that career, it was because of a real bad storm. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into, truthfully, but I volunteered, right? But the Lord protected me, and that put me into the career, basically. But I don't know if you remember them, but back then you didn't have all the technology we got now. Only thing I had at home was a little bitty one of them alarm clocks that my mama gave me for Christmas 1 year in a stocking from Santa Claus, right? That opens up and you wind it up. Well, I drove all the way and I finally got to New Jersey, right? About in all that snow, took me like 30 hours. I was so sleepy and I said, well, and I knew I had to deliver. I had the truck parked in the road. I couldn't go nowhere. So I set that clock for 5 o'clock. And I said, this way I won't be late. I can get up. Now, I said it and I went sound asleep, right? But what did I know was going to happen? That clock was going to go off. Same thing with Christ's return and the rapture. The alarm clock's already been set. We just don't know what time. But take this, it will ring. And when it rings, we better be ready. Amen? So here's what Paul wants us to say. Look, you don't need to know. Why don't you need to know? Because he's fixing to talk about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord in the Old Testament and New Testament is not dealing with the resurrection and the rapture. It's dealing with the judgment of God. Say judgment of God. The day of the Lord, all through the Old Testament and the New, is when God comes back to set things right, to punish sin, to gather together those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do away with sin, evil, death, and he will reestablish his kingdom. It is when God reclaims his creation and his creatures. Amen? Well, that ought to be good news to y'all, right? Because you don't like things when they messed up. Amen? Y'all awake? Amen. So he says, look, you don't need to know the time. He says, for you or yourself know full well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night. The reason we don't need to worry about the day of the Lord coming, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, because you're going to be raptured off the earth and you don't have to deal with it. How do I know that? Because if you'll look down just a little bit to verse 9, here's the reason. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not ordained us for wrath. What is the difference between the rapture and the coming of the Lord or the day of the Lord? Here, we're saved from the tribulation. Here, all that have not believed in Christ will meet judgment. Make sense? Now, what happens to these people in between? These people in between, some of them will come to faith in Christ in a seven-year period because things will be so bad they'll cry out to God. Now, I have a hard time here determining the difference between indifference, the ones on this side of the rapture, the people here that just like, I really don't care, I got time, I can do this. That's indifference. It don't really matter to me either way. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but they really don't make no decision about it. Then you got those that outright reject Jesus. Don't believe in God, ain't going to believe in God. There's no such thing as Christ. Christ doesn't exist. You can get to heaven by doing this. They got their own gods, whether it be politics, whether it be money, whatever their God is, whatever their God is. They reject Christ. Now, Paul says in Thessalonians that some of these people after the rapture, And I can't judge which ones these are, but I know it's the people that reject. I don't know how far you can take indifference before it turns into rejection. But those who have rejected Christ will suffer a spirit of delusion. Their spirit will be darkened. They will not ever accept Christ. They won't see the truth of the gospel. But during this tribulation period, there will be people here who accept Christ. We got the 144,000 witnesses. We got the two witnesses that come to witness to people. And we got what is called the silent witness, which is the word of God. Hey, when people get up and one morning and all the Christians are gone, amen, some of them's going to be like, you know, that old dumb Wesley might have been right. Where's my Bible? And they'll go to reading the Bible. There'll be people get saved. Now, some of them are martyred during the tribulation because the tribulation's so bad. They will be living on earth during the wrath of God being poured out on all unbelievers. And that's why we'll be saved from that wrath. Now, here's my question to you. How many of you got loved ones that's not saved? Amen. We need, hey, is it a chance they'll get saved over here? Yeah. But why would we want hailstones pounding on their heads? Now, I know some of y'all don't like your loved ones, amen? But you don't want plagues, fires. I was just looking today. If you think it is bad now, the whole West Coast is on fire. We've had so many hurricanes, we've had to start using the Greek alphabet. And there's buildings just falling. There's earthquakes. Think of all that going on. Those people are having a terrible time. Now, you multiply that by 10 to the 10th power, and then you'll start to see what the tribulation is going to look like. It still doesn't describe it. So why in the world would you not accept Christ now instead of waiting till things get so bad that he has to knock you on your knees so you open up the word and start reading? Amen? So he says here, you yourselves know full and well the day of the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Now, I know probably more stuff than this has got stolen from me, but I know three times the thief showed up, right? Raining one morning, pulled my work truck back to the house, covered it up with a tarp, just pushed the door to on my workshop, and I went to do something inside that the rain didn't matter. Come back, saw the tarp laying on the ground, and I was like, uh-oh. All my tools was gone, my shop's cleaned out, my truck's cleaned out. Now, did I know that thief was coming? No. When did he come? I won't go on long. It was quick, right? When I got back, I was surprised because he had been there. But guess what? It was surely a thief had been there. Why? Because all my stuff was gone. Same thing happened to a store my daddy had, right? Go in, pretty sure. There was air conditioning in the wall last night when we closed up. There are holes in the wall. So what do we do? Look around and see what all's gone. A bunch of stuff is gone. Amen. If we'd have known the thief was coming, we'd have got ready, should have put something up so even if we got the air conditioner out of the wall, it couldn't have come in, right? I got my truck stolen in Texas one time. Now, I got my cup of coffee. I was standing there, and I looked out the window, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the parking spot that I had parked in looked big as a football field, right? And I'm like, to be sure, my truck's not gone. I went out there. It was gone. Now, if I'd have known somebody was going to steal my truck and trailer, I'd have stayed in the truck. Amen? But I didn't. I wasn't prepared. Paul says, look, we need to be prepared as Christians. Even though we know that Christ is going to rapture the church and resurrect those who have died believing in Jesus, we need to be ready and tell other people, because the day of the Lord, the day of his judgment, is coming just like a thief in the night. Verse 3, he says here, while they. Now, Paul changes pronouns right here. That's important. Paul says, now look, you don't need no more information about Jesus coming. He's coming. Do y'all believe that this morning? Jesus is coming. You got enough information. Well, I'd like to know when. No, you don't need to know that. You just need to know he's going to rapture the church, resurrect the dead in Christ, and then he's going to return. You need to know. That's enough information. You need to act on that. Amen? You've got enough information to do what God wants you to do until Christ returns. And he says, but they, now he was talking about believers, you, now he's talking about they. Who are they? Those who don't believe in Christ. He says, they are saying peace and safety. In other words, they're saying everything's all right. My life's not that bad. Got a pretty good job. Got a little money in the bank. The wife don't look that bad. Kids behave pretty good. Things going pretty good for me. Everything's all right. The Lord must be happy with me. Don't know why all these Christians say you got to go to church. Don't know why they say you got to believe this. Don't know why they got to say that. Hey, I'm doing good, right? Now, as Christians, sometimes we the same way. We look at them people and say, man, I can't believe I got to keep doing all this stuff. They don't have to do nothing, and God's blessing them. Well, here's what I tell a lot of people. How do you know God's blessing them and Satan's not blessing them so they won't turn to God? See, the same thing Jesus says in chapter 24 of Matthew was happening in the day of Noah. For 120 years, Noah got laughed at, ridiculed, picked on, him, his wife, his boys, and their wives. Why? He was building a boat. What is that, Noah? It's a motorboat. Well, it wasn't a motor, but it's a boat. What do you need a boat for? They had never seen rain. Oh, God's going to flood the world. He's going to judge us for the way we've been living. Yeah, right. Everything's going good for me. I still got my job. I'm doing good. Jesus says that they had that attitude of indifference until Noah closed the door on the boat and the rain started falling. Guess what? It was too late. What happened to them? All mankind was wiped out. Every living creature was wiped out except for those on that ark. And it says by that baptism that they passed through to safety. They was what? What happened to Noah and his wife and his sons and their daughters? They was delivered from the wrath of God. Through what? The salvation of God. Through that ark. Jesus Christ is our ark. We are delivered through the wrath of God. Because why? We're with Jesus. So Paul says that they are saying peace and safety, and then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains on a woman with child, and they will not escape. Now, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, you're going to meet the judgment of God by yourself without him. And it ends in destruction. Now, when we talk about a woman with child and going into labor pains, what happens if you go into labor? You're giving birth. It ain't no stopping it, right? But also it says that it's no escaping it. In Jesus' day, in Paul's day, when this is written, we didn't have hospitals, urgent care, cab drivers to deliver babies. It was very serious and a lot of times ended in death of the child and the mother or both. And what Paul is saying here is the day of the Lord, the judgment, Christ returned to judge the living and dead, he tells Timothy, is what? Sudden, certain, and it's going to be a surprise. it's going to happen without any notice. It ain't like you're going to get the alarm clock goes off and you hit snooze and you get your stuff ready before Jesus gets here. Jesus is going to show up. Are you sure? Yeah, it's certain. Just like a lady going into labor. Jesus says when these labor pains, when you start seeing these things, it's going to come to completion. But also, the people that have not accepted Christ and have been indifferent about Christ, well, it's okay. I mean, I could do this because God's really not done anything to me for not living the way the Bible says I got to. They indifferent to it. But guess what? They're going to be surprised when Jesus shows up and they got to answer for what they've done. So the return of Christ is sudden, sure, and it'll be a surprise. And now he says, for you are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But those who are of the day, like us, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but obtaining salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me get this closed up here. So what Paul's saying here is that we are sons of light. So in the Bible, you know that it's always talking about light and dark. It's always a contrast there. Here, when you're talking about sons of light and sons of day and sons of night, in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, he's been talking about being asleep, being awake. He's been talking about all this. And here, when he says this idea of those who are of the day or of the light, he's talking about those who have the light of the knowledge of God in the Bible. The information. Are you in the light? Do you have information about God, what he wants you to do? Somebody please say yes. Did you bring your Bible? Amen. We got the Bible. So guess what? You're in the light. Paul's saying you got enough information. Do you have all the information about everything God's going to do? No. Why not? You don't need it all. How many of you are already reading your Bible but not doing everything in it? See, we already got more information than we need, right? When we get done completing everything in these 66 chapters, right, God can give us some more information. Amen? I had a lady say to me the other day, somebody asked her, says, why did you start living the way you're living now? She says, I got saved and realized that the Ten Commandments wasn't a multiple choice. I loved it. I said, really? How'd you figure that out? I read the Bible. You know, we've got this information. So he says, if you are sons of the light and sons of the day, you live different than those who are indifferent to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, let us not sleep as others do. And Peter says this same thing. Let us be alert and sober. This word alert means to be watchful. Let's watch for what God is doing, what God wants us to do. Let's watch the times. Let's watch what's going on. We need to be sober. We need to be clear thinking. In the Bible, when it talks about being sober, it's not putting a campaign against alcohol. It's talking about when someone is sober, they're not under the influence of outside things. They're under the influence or the control of the Holy Spirit. And I'm summing up a lot of chapters there, but that's what it talks about. So I'm being alert. Peter says you better be alert because what? Your enemy, the devil's prowling around looking for somebody to devour. You need to be alert. You need to be watching. What's the difference between what God wants me to do and what the world's trying to trick me into doing? Be alert. He says, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. So what he's saying here is the people that get drunk, when do they do it? At night, in the dark, most of the time. I know they don't always do that anymore, but used to, you kind of had to because that's when the stuff was open, amen? what Paul is saying here is that they do these things at night. This idea of getting drunk is they're under the influence of the things of the world that are estranged from God. And he says those who sleep, sleep at night. So night, he's not talking about a 12-hour period here. He's talking about those who are of the night are deceived by the schemes of the devil. They are indifferent to what God says. I know God says that, but it's okay. I mean, it's not that they're really rejecting God. They can go along with Christians. They can go along and come to church sometime. But the Bible doesn't make a difference in their life. What God says doesn't make a difference in their life. And they don't see themselves as God sees them. They're just indifferent. They might have even said sometime, well, I believe in you, Lord, and I need you to forgive me. But they've never said, Lord, take control of my life. See, when the Holy Spirit indwells us and comes inside to dwell and regenerate us, then we can understand the things of God and the Word of God. Amen? And Paul says, now that y'all understand that, and I've got to hurry up here. He says, now, how many of y'all understand that, right? Y'all need to be willing to use the information that you have about God and about yourself to live pleasing to God. Got that? Okay. He says, but since we are of the day, let us be sober. So you need to put on a breastplate. Think about this. I know y'all probably don't dress up in your armor stuff like the soldiers used to. A bulletproof vest. If you put on, I got a lot of people here that shoot and practice self-defense. If you put on a Kevlar vest, why do you put a vest on that covers this part? That's where all your vital organs are. That's where your heart is, right? Now, why do you put on a helmet? Everybody used to tell me I didn't need one on my motorcycle because I had a thick head anyway, right? You put on a helmet to protect your head. So Paul's saying, here's what we need to do. If we're going to stay alert and sober, not influenced by the things of the world, we got to protect our heart and our head. I got to protect how I feel about things, and I got to protect how I think about things. I've got to shield my head from the things coming through Facebook, Twitter. Can't ever pronounce that. The news cycles, the TV shows. You used to say newspapers and magazines, but I don't even know if they exist anymore. Everything is visual and coming to you, or you listen to music. You got to protect what you hear, what you think, but you also got to think how it influences your heart to follow the Lord. And he says, this to protect your heart, there's two things you need here. He says, you need faith and you need love. And then he says, lastly, what you need to protect the way your thinking is the hope. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he reverses the order of these. And the reason he does that, the way the writing was in Greek when Paul is writing this, if you got three things and that last thing you put out there by itself, that emphasizes that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul's talking about love, right? He says he is. I'm talking about love. Let me tell you about love. He says, of faith and hope, guess what? Love's the greatest of those three. Here he's saying you need faith and you need hope to protect your heart, the way you respond to God. And he says, but you need the helmet. You need faith and love for the way you feel about God, but you need the helmet of hope to protect the way you think. The way you think is how you act, how you respond sometimes, the things that you do. He says, here is hope. So think about this. Faith is believing what God says is true. That's as simple as I can get. When Jesus says, have faith in me, what Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. When God called Abraham to come forth and follow me, Abraham says, where are we going? God says, it don't matter. I'll show you when you get there. Abraham followed him, summing up a bunch of chapters. It says Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness because he believed God. So faith simply believes that I believe what God says about himself, about me, about Satan, and about the world. So to have my heart under the control of God, I got to believe what he says is true. Now, Christ Jesus died for us because he loved us. If we love Christ, how many of y'all love Jesus? You will obey his word. Faith is believing what Jesus says is true. Love is obeying what he tells us to do. Now, if you can believe it's true and you can obey it, guess what hope is? You can trust God to keep his promises. If Jesus is coming back, going to rapture us, and we're going to avoid all that wrath, we can believe it. What is our hope? I'm not going through that. Why? Going through enough bad stuff now. How many of y'all going through something bad in your life? How many think it can't get no worse? Well, it can. But when Christ comes back, there will be no more effects of sin. We will be with Christ forever. Now, here's the best piece of this. He says, because God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we'll be what? With Jesus. Jesus loved us so much. He says he died for us. He was our substitute. You know what y'all deserved? Death. You know what you got? Redemption. Why? Because Jesus took your punishment so he could give you his life. And that's where love comes from, so that we can obey what Jesus says. So our hope is a confident expectation that God will keep his word, a steadfast conviction that God keeps his promises. If we believe God enough to keep his word, we will trust him enough to never lose hope. You know, as Christians, we talk about don't lose hope. Not losing hope is trusting that God is going to deliver on his promises. Now, if we put on a breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope, then we can encourage one another and build one another up just as y'all have been doing. So, do you encourage one another? Yes. Can we do that better? Yes. That's the sermon next week. Do we always build up each other? Not always. You know, often it is easier to show and pick what somebody's doing wrong than it is to look for the little thing that they're doing right that God wants you to help them build up. You know the easiest way to help somebody change their life? Not to tell them just to quit doing something, but to show them how to do something God wants them to replace that with. If you take away something, I don't care how bad it is, it leaves a hole in you. And you're going to want to fill it with something. And believe you me, Satan will give you a lot of opportunities to fill it with the things he wants you to. But if you trust God and look how he wants you to live, you can start filling your life with the things that God wants you to do. And guess what, brothers and sisters? That's our job for one another. God didn't leave us on this earth by ourselves. He gave us each other so that we could help one another not only stop doing things, but start doing them God's way. Let us pray. This morning, if you've been living the Christian life, but it's sometimes you find it easier to be in conflict than to comfort one another, just say, Lord, help me today to start living with faith and love. That, Lord, with all my heart, I believe that your word is true. And with faith, Lord, I not only believe it, but with the love I have for you, I will obey that word. Lord, help me realize it's just a limited time on this earth that I have to impact others with the gospel. Lord, I've got loved ones. I don't want to see them endure the wrath of the tribulation, and I surely don't want them to spend eternity without you. Help me witness to somebody today. And Lord, I believe that my faith has made my salvation secure. But help me to step out on my faith today to do the things that you want me to. If you're here and you don't know this relationship with Christ, and if Christ was to come tonight, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. It's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, not living life your way. I believe you died for me. I'm asking you to forgive me, take control of my life, and help me be waiting for your second coming. Kind Father, we just thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amy's going to sing a song and then we'll be dismissed. The offering buckets is there after she sings. We'll ask Mike if he'll close in prayer after Amy sings, and the offering buckets are available.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, just to take him at his word. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Savior and Lord. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And oh, for grace to trust him.